Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gentlemen, shall we?
Let's do this.
Pod on toi. Un, deux, trois. Pod. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with the usual suspects. I'm Tim, we've got Phil right there.
Hi Tim.
We've got JB right there.
Hello Tim.
And we have both of your other halves stomping their feet around above us in the rugby dungeon. So if you hear any extra noises, that's just them in JB's kitchen.
God knows why. As soon as we come down here, they start moving furniture around.
It's a principal thing. It's a principal thing. We're idiots.
Thank you very much for listening. You can find us on the Acast app. You can download the Acast app. You can listen on iTunes, where we would love your feedback, the little reviews and stuff. We love your feedback on that. And subscribe on iTunes as well. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. We counted in with an un, deux, trois. Obviously, this has been a weekend that rugby's kind of taken a back seat, understandably, to events elsewhere. It did mean that we were shorn of four fixtures in the European Cup and European Challenge Cup as a result of the situation in Paris. That means we've got less rugby to talk about, but still plenty to talk about besides, and a little bit closer to home. And in the last week since our last podcast, Stuart Lancaster did the honourable thing and stepped down as head coach of the England rugby team.
He did. Mutual agreement or mutual...
Wasn't it a conscious decoupling?
Conscious uncoupling of Stuart Lancaster. It's fine. We all agree that that was the right move and England will move on. But I still don't think that the RFU's accountability has been answered in this regard.
I think you're wrong here.
You're basically saying Stuart Lancaster was the right appointment.
I understand the appointment. I mean, did I think he's a good coach? I'm on record.
But the RFU are exonerated from having picked someone that you don't think is very good.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's just quite a strange approach, but fair enough.
Well, I understand it because, you know, everyone was talking about the toxic environment of the last regime, and then he goes and wins the Six Nations, and
second in his first Six Nations.
You know, so you can understand why they did it, and he is the inside man. He is their guy, and you can see why they thought Stuart Lancaster might be the right appointment. So, I don't think the RFU is too much to blame.
I think they are as culpable as Stuart Lancaster. If he wasn't the right coach, then
they should have binned him. Yeah, that's probably where the blame lies.
If he wasn't the right coach, then I think it's like any good organisation. A CEO would take responsibility if they hired the wrong MD twice in a row. What's that? Fool me once. Fool me once, shame on me.
Now, I was calling for his head a long, long time ago. I was saying that he wasn't very good. You, on the other hand, and yourself, Phil, were quite complimentary of him coming into the World Cup.
I still am.
Yeah, so you've been taken in by him, as did the RFU.
No, I've been taken in by him. He did do a good job, but he has got no experience of World Cups. He's got no experience of high-level, pressurised European Cup rugby at club level or Premiership finals or the equivalent of that abroad. He's got no experience of that. So when the pressure of the World Cup came on, he didn't know what to do. He's like a rabbit in the headlights, and he went inside himself, made wrong, poor selections as a result.
I think he came and stuck in the World Cup because the tactical minds of the other coaches who've got real club experience, for instance, a Warren Gatland or, for instance, Michael Checker, it might have exposed
him. I see what you're saying, but don't you think what Stuart Lancaster did in the World Cup was completely different to what he'd done in the rest of his tenure as England coach?
Exactly right.
which demonstrates someone who can't handle those pressurised situations because he's got no experience of it. And I didn't realise that at the time, and it's only with hindsight I go, do you know what? It's exactly what happened with Martin Johnson, and now we get to the when it matters most, he didn't know what to do.
So I would suggest, actually, instead of saying we need a coach with good international experience, what England need to do is look at a coach with good tournament experience for World Cups. European rugby, probably Super Rugby. Those are the two benchmarks, which I'd say.
I think so too. World Cup experience would be handy, but so few coaches have got that top level World Cup experience. You want someone who's got consistent experience of the knockouts in Super Rugby and or Heineken Cup Rugby, and successes in it. You've got to have success, because you can be a nearly man with tactics that aren't quite good enough, the selections that aren't quite good enough, but you've got to have it, the full package.
Correct.
So dream scenario then, if we could all just wave our wand and step into the roles of the, as I would describe him, inept at selecting an England head coach, Ian Ritchie, and I think he should answer for his part in the debacle, not just load it all on Stuart Lancaster's shoulders. But anyway, if we could all wave our magic wand and pick our dream team going forward, if you could have anyone you wanted.
Me personally, I would say spend big and go for Steve Hansen and his full coaching staff. He's got such a reputation, he's got such a history. His experience of World Cups, not necessarily as the director of rugby, but he was under Graham Henry for so long. He's got such an experience at top level. I would go for him and his coaching staff and just blow the budget.
We'd also get to finally see if that happened. Like, go on then. Yeah, you can do it with the best players in the world.
Yeah,
exactly right.
That's the way I'd sell the challenge to him. We've done it with New Zealand, and you had an advantage. You had a statistical advantage because you had the best players in the world.
I think it with England, it'd be a disaster. The English expectation would be very, very high. And without the best players in the world, are we sure that sweeping your own locker rooms is really what you should be focusing on?
I don't think he focuses on that. I think he's just like 0.1%.
Like, I'm not saying he's anti-fun, but if you read the article by Graham Henry, I know they're two different individuals, but Graham Henry seems very anti-fun.
Well, Hansen, going into their autumn tour last year, Cruden missed a flight because he was on the piss. And then worked his way back to being first choice fly half.
I don't think that would have happened in England, actually.
Oh, Jay. What time? Hey! 6 minutes?
That was, we're 6 minutes.
Damn it.
It probably wouldn't have happened with Stuart Lancaster, but it did happen with Hansen. He identified Cruden at the time was his best fly half, and he used him.
On the subject of, you said, spend big, they're going to have to spend big, because the RFU's official line to everyone was, money's no object, we've got as much as we need. Well done.
That is the worst way to go into any negotiation possible. Well, they're flush with cash right now, so it doesn't really matter. Oh, God, it's so stupid.
I think my dream scenario would involve... See, I want a progression, and I want to think long-term. I want to think 2023. And so my dream team would involve Rob Baxter.
Ooh.
And he would be working alongside Eddie Jones.
That's interesting. So you get the experience of international World Cup experience.
You just talked about Steve Hansen with... I mean, he was Graham Henry's understudy for, what, 8 years?
Yeah. Yep.
So I'd go, here you go, we've got at least 4, maybe 8 years with Eddie Jones, depending on how long he wants the job, but definitely 4. And Rob Baxter, you're our man. Soak up everything you can, get as much experience as you can without having to carry the can.
I like that.
I do like it. And rugby, it's far more common to see two big names working together than it is, say, in football. But there's also examples, I wasn't aware of this, say Diamond and Malander, who really didn't get on. So...
I mean, can't understand why Steve Diamond sharing the limelight with someone else.
There would be RFU Blazer boys throwing themselves off cliffs if they had to work with Steve Diamond. I would love to see it.
Is that your dream England scenario?
No, it's not.
What is it then?
My dream England scenario is that Andy Farrell takes them to the Six Nations.
Andy Farrell has been appointed for the Six Nations.
Yes.
The current coaching staff bar Lancaster being kept on for the Six Nations.
I hope
Teflandy Farrell. Teflandy, that doesn't work as a pun.
What was that, a pun?
Teflon. Teflandic. No, forget it.
Oh my God.
I didn't say, like, I just erased the last time.
Do not
is that your dream scenario, yeah, Jeff?
Do not delete that.
Go on.
Yeah, he takes him to Six Nations. He wins the jammiest Grand Slam ever. The RFU are forced to appoint him as head coach, and Robshaw remains as captain at seven forever.
So it's basically a repeat
sabotage of
the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I want them to be deliberately bad.
Yeah.
Now, I'd actually quite like to see Warren Gatland in that role.
I'd love to see what he did.
I'd love to see what he did. And, Jay, you always make this argument that he does the best with what he's got in Wales because he has such a shallow player base. But when he was at Wasps, I mean, he did seriously big things.
Yeah.
Like three Premiership titles and two European Cups.
That's right.
In 5 years. That's pretty good. So I'd love to see if he is just almost a one-trick pony, or if he can do it all, and if he can mould that England squad of talent into something coherent.
Well, Brad Barrett would be back in Gatland Ball.
Well, I don't think he would.
No, he wouldn't. He's not big enough. Even him.
Sam Burgess.
It'd be Matt Banahan in the centre.
Sam Burgess and Matt Banahan in the centres. Well, biggest centre pairing ever.
Gatland would do a fantastic job. He'd make England into the best team in the world almost overnight, I think. I mean, you'd certainly be winning Grand Slams. You'd be the best team in the Northern Hemisphere. I don't think there's much doubt about that.
So we talked about our dream scenarios. Do you know where the betting is at on this?
No.
That's normally quite a good indication.
Is Jake White the favourite?
Jake White has moved to be a reasonably strong favourite at the moment.
Is that just because he's come out so strongly saying he wants it, do you think?
He's the only one who's actually come out and said, yes, I do want it.
Meanwhile, he's just cursing the fact his Montpellier team have conceded, nearly 100 points in two games.
Yeah, 94 points, is it not? In two games.
JB! Is that a different device?
Different device, it's my third device. God's sakes.
Did you watch the game against Harlequins on... God, it seems so long ago. It's Thursday night.
Thursday night, yeah. There's a couple of messages on that one. At Twitter... at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I like this one from... this Uncle Bryn 1983, who says, mark my words, gents, you're going to regret mocking Charlie the Enforcer Matthews.
No, far from it.
We don't mock him as a player. He's a good player and he had a strong game, but we mock him as describing himself as an enforcer. Which he is and never will
but
be.
Can I just say, the guy who has the last laugh here is Charlie Matthews, because he rightly pointed out he basically is an enforcer by today's standards. I mean, all you can do is hit rucks, so because you can't hit each other. So it turns out Charlie Matthews was right all the time.
Yeah, and Bitty Smalls on Twitter said he was enjoying playing a game of Dave Ward throwing bingo during the Quins game.
You don't realise how bad it is until you look out for it.
You could have a good drinking game out of it. Get a drink and you just have to say whether he's going to make the throw or not.
Dangerous.
You can
dangerous
literally
drinking
look at his hands, and I can literally call it 9 out of 10 times.
9 out of 10. Not straight or misses his man.
It was straight, look at that.
But the Quins, they put a very impressive performance, particularly second half.
Yeah.
Their line out and driving maul
was
excellent against that big Montpellier pack.
Oh, boys, can I find you a clip on YouTube? It's George Robson, the old Harlequin second row, who's now gone to
Oyana,
describing what is necessary for Quins line out.
What is
You go find it, and in the meantime. Oh, one thing I asked for on the last podcast, and we had some absolutely brilliant ones, was some rugby player lookalikes.
Oh, we've had a lot. We've had some excellent ones.
The Dead Ball Area on Twitter suggested Nick Mallett, another potential future England coach, and the original Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno.
I think that's awesome.
It was a good one. There was Rod Gilbert, the comedian, Welsh comedian, and Rob Baxter. They look so alike.
They do.
So does Mr. Britas. He was also... he was also the hologram guy in Rimmer.
Arnold Rimmer.
In Red Dwarf and Stuart Lancaster. Luke Worthington suggested that.
Very good.
Number 5 Pulse on Twitter said Mike Ford, Bath coach, and Paul Robinson from Neighbours. Another sort of 90s reference for you. And Moritz Bota says Rugrats Dahl is the absolute spit of Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber.
What was one of the most... might have been Mike Ford, and Daniels, I was so impressed with that, I had to retweet it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is, if you like Curb Your Enthusiasm, it's such a great show. I love it.
Yeah.
But there's a character in it called Funkhauser, and him and Robbie Deans, the former Australia coach, are so alike. It's unreal. So some brilliant ones. Keep them coming. There's loads more besides. Check our Twitter account at Rugby Podcast, and also suggest any more rugby lookalikes you've got. Have you found the clip, Jay?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
It's probably a bit out of context now. But just tell me what is wrong with this, with George Robson's assumptions.
Well, particularly when you're near your own line. But just talk us through why you have that early bind, why you set low and try and get a spring at the front.
Yeah, the whole thing from our point of view is we're trying to make sure we win the ball when we're under some real pressure. So the whole philosophy is action beats reaction. So we're getting nice and low, getting off the floor quickly, usually put the biggest, strongest guy in behind, so you get lots of height on the lift, and we're coming forward, getting our arms up early to win the ball.
Now, what you probably noticed from there was how accurate the hooker's throw has to be. Yeah,
now, what might not be right here? I would suggest...
Do Quins need to work on their bind and lift, their second row hand position, or maybe the throw? That sort of leads us into, you mentioned the Harlequins game, that was a Champions Challenge Cup game even, but let's focus on the Champions Cup then. So, well, obviously we were shorn of a couple of fixtures in that one, Glasgow versus Racing 92 for one, but the other game in that pool was Northampton v Scarlets. Now, exciting bit of, I mean, you're a Welshman, what do you make of the news Jonathan Davies is heading back to Scarlets?
Awful news. It is genuinely
the only Welshman that thinks that.
It's just such stupid decision making. So we've got four professional teams. One of them isn't really professional, it's the Dragons.
Who had a good win?
Who had a very good win, actually, against Steve Diamond's team.
Steve Diamond's second team, I would to add.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So why is this bad? It's bad because Tim pointed out last week that Scarlets put up a real good fight against Leinster. Now, they did this with a bunch of kids, and not only kids, they did it with kids, not including their two internationals, Liam Williams and Scott Williams. Now, Jonathan Davies is going to come back and take one of those spots. George North, if he comes back, is going to come back and take one of those spots. Lee Halfpenny is going to take one of those spots.
George North could take DTH van der Merwe, Canadian, or Taki Thagimbau.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're not Welsh qualified. So that's not affecting the Welsh team. In the centre, Hadley Parks is a Kiwi, and Regan King. And Scott Williams is a Welshman. He's not going to be pushed out. Gareth Owen will arguably learn as an outside centre from Jonathan Davies. You've also got the rumour that Rhys Patchell will be coming in at 10. He's coming in to compete with Steve Shingler, neither of which are Welsh caps, and Rhys Patchell's been sort of squeezed out.
I just don't...
You've got talk of Lee Halfpenny coming back in. Alid Davies, I don't think he's a good player, but he's not going to be a... Alid Thomas, he's not going to be a Welsh international, probably, in all likelihood.
But we don't know. I mean, let's assume George North is going to get paid £300,000. Let's just assume that, yeah?
If
we didn't pay George North, we could quite literally get 10 academy lads on 30k a year and find out which one works.
On the flip side, let's rewind a year, and then I could say to you, Jonathan Davies is going to be playing in the top 14, where he's going to be put through the mill and he's not going to be able to be rested. He'll be played every week. Or you could say, a year ago, Jonathan Davies is on a dual contract, which means that if there's any sign that he's a bit tired and fatigued, we can manage him and try and make sure we get the best chance of him being available for a World Cup.
Yes, I get it. The top 14 is very, very tough. But on the other hand, Jamie Roberts was an absolute hero during the World Cup, and he's played much more rugby.
But he himself is far more durable than virtually anyone.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's granite.
He's an unusual character.
Like him versus the Cambridge dweebs that he's hanging out with in his halls of residence. Where he is living in a halls of residence.
Plus he's a doctor,
as we
so
speak.
If he does have any tweaks, he knows exactly what's wrong, he knows exactly what to do.
Did I mention about his medical degree last week?
Yes.
That I'm convinced that he's doing a medical degree so he never has to work in a hospital ever again.
I did see an interview with him the other day that said, I'm not sure if I will ever work in medicine.
Of course he won't. It's just an interesting story. It's one of the smallest things ever. Yeah, I'll get a degree in medicine, and ironically, I'll never have to do it because I'm always going to be in a TV studio getting paid 6 or 7 times more.
He could be the next Brian Moore.
100%.
Repeatedly refer back to.
Yes.
Of all this training he's had, which is why he knows everything about everything.
I've never been a paediatrician, but
yeah,
that's exactly what he'll do.
So
back to the
Scarlets put up a fight, but Northampton got a win. It was ugly. It wasn't a great performance, but they eked out a win.
Yeah, there was a few good breaks from both sides, but overall it wasn't a pretty game, was it?
No,
was it?
There's a couple of things I found out, because I was working on the game, I was reporting for BT Sport. There's a couple of things I found out. So Jonathan Davies was the guest, and he was chatting on the little bus beforehand. Do you know the seven, James Davies, is Jonathan Davies' younger brother?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you know, they look fairly similar as well.
They do, and as soon as I realised it, I didn't, but no one else on the bus either seemed to. They were like, was that your brother, really? Anyway, he was saying that, and I'll have to look out for this.
Pro 12, though.
And you'll have to Google this, Phil, or JB.
Yep, I'm on it.
James Davies got tattoos, and he has written on his fingers, on his knuckles, he has Cubby Boy. So on one hand, it's C-U-B-B-Y. On the other hand, B-O-I.
I know. It's awful, isn't it?
Is he missing a finger or something?
His nickname is Cubby.
Oh, God, boy.
I know, really, really terrible.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen the pictures online?
Yeah.
That's so horrendous, isn't it?
That's almost as bad as the worst rugby tattoo is the Matt Banahan with his brother. The matching. What is it? Is it a cannonball?
It's a cannonball, yeah. So
it's a cannon. One guy's got the cannon on their chest.
Starts across one guy's chest, and the ball is on the other guy's heck or something. I think one of them's got like a Mustang and a spit, and it's like, oh my God, what were they thinking?
The other thing I heard, did you see the shape of Pete Richards, Pete Edwards, the tight head for Scarlets? He's a proper old school looking tight head.
No.
Yeah.
And his nickname is Pete the Meat, and also is people call him All You Can Eat Pete. All You Can Eat Pete.
That's good. I like that.
Pete the Meat. But yeah, they got, like you say, there was a decent win for Saints. They'll just be glad to get a win by whatever means.
Definitely.
They needed that big time. And English teams generally showed up really well this weekend. Do you think there's anything in that?
Yes. firstly, we were discussing the Pro 12 last night. Obviously, Tim's doing a bit of work around the Pro 12, so he is kind of starting to snuggle up a little bit to the Pro 12 now. You may notice a softening of his tone. but the English teams have been coming good for a while, I feel. I mean, Wasps going to Leinster and, quite frankly, battering them. I mean, I'm sure the Leinster fans will be...
No one would have predicted that.
I would have.
You'd have predicted a battering.
Jay did predict a Wasps win, unfortunately.
But the manner of the victory, though.
No, I wouldn't have predicted that. But I'm sure we'll have the Leinster fans in their droves saying someone was injured or there was...
Their biggest issue, though, they had no cutting edge. Their backs just lacked that cutting edge.
Mm.
And Leinster had all this territory in possession and Wasps just soaked it up. And then when Wasps had a chance, they've got... I mean, the Wade try was fortunate because of the three bounces and Carney slipping. But Simpson's try, just the explosive pace of Halai through the middle and then the offload to Simpson, they've got the pace to exploit the smallest opportunity.
Well, like I said about Bath last season, or maybe the season before, they are built like I like my teams. Huge carriers up front. And massive amounts of pace out back, and it's not really that much more complex. That's what I like to see. These teams genuinely do well. Wasps have been building this for a while. I feel they've been gradually getting better. They've got a great captain who should be the England captain. but they've supplemented.
Disagree. I'm not going to say agreed to that.
Do you know what though? I was talking to a Wasps player.
A great club player.
He's a really good captain.
I'm sure he is a really good captain. He's not, as a player, he's not international class, in my opinion.
Mm.
Me too. If I was playing at Wasps, he'd be your best mate and you would follow him into battle. And
you go and do some topless Instagram shots with him.
No, I'm not standing next to James Haskell if I'm doing any topless Instagram
Absolutely
shots.
Absolutely not.
You'd watch any Snapchat videos he might have on the WhatsApp group or whatnot.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Well, do you know something about that?
No,
Jay?
I don't. So... Their squad depth is really good. They've got people like James Gaskell on the bench. Bradley Davis is an immense player. And this result has been coming for a long, long time. Hopefully it won't be a one-off.
And also, it's good to see Charles Pietau getting used to putting one over on Leinster.
Exactly.
Because he'll be at Ulster next year and doing the same thing over and over again.
I don't think he will be.
Well, we got.
I don't think he will be putting one over on Leinster.
I don't think he'll move to Leinster. Even though his contract's signed, he's just going to enjoy it far too much with Vantos.
Home wins are absolutely massive for getting out of your pool and into the quarterfinals. And that's a massive win away in Dublin.
Huge. That is huge.
Because I tell you what, the Rioch or whatever we're calling it now.
Rico.
That's a seriously good venue for a European fixture for one of the big teams. I'm not saying it'll be full, but there'll be well over 20,000 there. You would expect.
Let's look at Leicester and that result.
That's a really good result.
Strong.
The most important thing. Bonus point.
Bonus point.
God,
bonus,
that's amazing.
And, bonus point.
And they denied their opponents any sniff anything of a bonus.
Yeah.
Bonus point.
Just one more thing, Wasps. How much do I want to see Wade and Daly make it for England?
Simpson.
Simpson as well.
Simpson's so quick.
And the other nine, Robson, when he finally gets a real good look, at, I think he might be challenging.
Yeah, I've said it before. I'm surprised he went to Wasps because he was a number two behind Laidlaw at Gloucester. Could have gone somewhere where he'd be a number one.
I don't think it's going to be a clear-cut starter and a backup. I think that they'll use them both because they're quite similar. Well, Laidlaw being the captain.
Northampton do that, don't they? It's like two games on, two games off, really.
Yeah, exactly right. And that works very, very well for them. So
we'll see. But Leicester, when you look at the team sheet, you go, there's some talent there, but there's a few little question marks as well. But Aaron Major, what an impact he's made at Leicester Tigers, because they're better than the sum of their parts, and that's without some of the players they've still got to come in and come back from injury and also some rumoured signings.
Well, they've made one announcement, which is Tamua, who was at one stage, they were talking about it, him going to Wasps, but he has actually signed for Leicester now.
For next season.
So yeah. Jean de Villiers is on a 1-year contract just for this season, December to May, June time. Then Tamua comes in.
It's great.
That's nice because Matt Smith has been playing 12 the last couple of games. He's got a try in this game. He's not a world-class 12.
No, he's not. He's solid. He's solid. He's kind of like the Leicester version of
Chris Wiles.
Yeah, slot him in anywhere, it'll do a job.
I always thought the Leicester version of Chris Wiles was Blaine Scully until he left.
Yeah. It's something that I actually noticed about the way that Leicester played. That back line, they are all interchangeable. So Olin Williams can play 10 or centre. Gonniver played on the wing, but plays centre. Matt Smith is normally a winger playing centre. Beetham is back three or outside centre. Thompson is the only one who's really a winger. And then Tate, centre or fullback.
Yeah, right.
And this must be the way that, because I've never seen it before with Leicester, that Major's got them playing.
It does annoy me a little bit, this. I keep banging on about Aaron Major and how much he doesn't rate the skills of the players. Like, oh, they're underskilled, we don't do enough skill work. It is fairly annoying, but it is a pretty impressive result.
It was an impressive result.
Now, this will get you excited.
Yeah.
Imagine if a certain Leicester Tigers player listens to everything Aaron Major says and develops a world-class skill set. Any ideas? To go with his world-class physical attributes.
What? And to go alongside his rucking skills.
Miles Benjamin.
I don't think Miles has played one game yet this season.
I think he's carrying an injury.
Just a little niggle.
Just a little niggle.
But Six Nations this year.
I'd say Six Nations this year. I mean, now that Stuart Lancaster's gone, and we've got a set of coaches that really know how to select a team.
I'd just love to see it.
On the subject of signings, we can't talk about Bath playing, obviously, for the game cancelled and whatnot, but we can talk about Big Dave Denton coming in to replace Big Sam.
We can.
That's probably an upgrade, to be fair, isn't
massive
it?
Massive upgrade.
Yeah.
Based on their current performance.
Not potential, but current. Yeah.
Yes, it is definitely an upgrade. Denton is an outstanding carry. He's an outstanding international back row.
And they've finally got someone who can share the number eight workload with Leroy.
Yes, which is something they needed. And I'd like to see him Denton at six as well.
Mm. Yeah.
I do like a six who can carry.
Power, power, power.
Yeah.
They're so lucky. I think teams with big sevens that can jackal, i.e. France Waldo, have got such a huge advantage. Because you need the fetcher, the jackler, whatever you call them. It's like some more person, but it gives you a line-up option, gives you a carry option. Yeah. It just is so, so handy.
France Waldo, who was set to come back in and captain the side.
Was he?
Yeah, Hooper was dropped to the bench.
Yeah, Hooper is dropped to the bench quite a lot. Which makes me think
they're phasing him out.
Yeah, I think they're going to be looking at new second rows sooner rather than later.
Luke Charteris.
Now,
That's been touted around that Luke Charteris will be signing for Bath for next season. And
is that not a perfect example of a player that should definitely not be playing in Wales? He doesn't need any more development.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you on that.
Do you know what I mean? He's 30.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. You've got to get the people of the regions invested in the regional teams, and so you need to have some people that are going to come out and watch on a cold, wet, windy Saturday afternoon against Zebre.
I don't think they ever will. I just don't think there's any love for it. I mean, if you look at the most successful region, which is Ospreys, the one with the most names, the one with the most money, they still don't fill out the Liberty Stadium. So I just can't see that that's really ever going to happen.
There were, I don't know how many, I was just looking at how many people were at the Liberty Stadium today. I don't have that information to hand, but they put in a good shift against Exeter Chiefs, didn't they? A very good second half.
The only game that I actually watched, and basically they did it by shutting down Dave Ewers. That was basically it.
It has been pointed out to us on Twitter, we've been contacted more than once about the curvature of Dave Ewers' spine and the sort of hunch that he's got in the top part of his back. I was looking at it today thinking that is a bit odd.
Do you think we should ask Jamie Roberts what he thinks?
Yeah, because he's a doctor.
Get his opinion. He's
definitely. Definitely. Come on, Jamie. Do we need to worry about Dave Ewers? Now, I know he likes to bend over and run low into contact. Maybe it's just part of that.
Yeah.
Maybe genetically he's modified his own back to mean it's easier to bend over and keep your centre of gravity low. But again, it was the Dan Bigger show in the second half there that denied
it. It's always a Dan Bigger show. Whatever Dan Bigger is, it's a Dan Bigger show.
Dan Bigger is probably the best 10 I've seen at the Kick and Collect.
He's amazing. Anything he decides to be amazing at.
I love this, that...
He missed a kick today.
I know, or he missed a couple.
I've never seen it. I've literally never seen it before. I saw one in the World Cup, actually.
It says a lot about where Saracens are at, that they came off the back of beating Northampton at Franklin's Gardens. They absolutely hammered Toulouse, embarrassed them really. 27-0 it was at half time, and Mark McCall came out and his post-match press conference was, "We're really disappointed because we didn't get a bonus point."
I felt exactly the same. They were superb in the first half. Their scrum was dominant. Their halfbacks just kicked and controlled the game. Absolutely brilliant. Owen Farrell and Wigglesworth put them in the right areas, and Toulouse didn't have an answer, because once they were back there, they were trying to kick out, but the back three was in position, they were running it back, they were returning it with interest. It was an absolute masterclass of how European rugby should be played. Superb.
Cruz and Itoji, it's probably the two form second rows in English second rows anyway, I'd say, the two of them.
Yeah. Great form. Their scrum was superb, and their backs... They do get criticised for being boring, but they kicked at the right time and they ran it at the right time. That Chris Wiles try in the corner, when he went through four or five pairs of hands.
There is nothing boring though about watching a team squeeze the life out of their opposition.
Yeah,
I love to watch it.
And I will say one thing on Saracens. I'm just re-emphasising something we've said before, that they are rumoured to be, and I'm only speculating here, I have no facts to base this on, but they are probably one of the teams that are in frame for the salary cap infringements.
We won't hear any more about it.
Which is an absolute... It's ridiculous, that. But anyway.
Just saying, well, we'll adjust the rules to make sure that your salary structure fits in.
Yeah.
It's not for the good of the game.
No.
I agree with paying more, but we have to have all the teams paying the same.
Yeah.
There's something really important, that when you have a salary cap and it's followed properly...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Coaching goes up because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. The analysis and the coaching, and it becomes about the 1%, and that raises the standard.
Yeah. What I will say, though, is I've said this before, like Saracens, yeah, if they have infringed the salary cap, and we won't hear about it, we'll never know, it was wrong and all the rest of it, but there was one other story, as well as, you know, the academy players that have come through, Cruz and Itoji. Mm-hmm. Petrus Duplessis was a tight head at Nottingham.
Phil's
and,
mate. Phil's
and before
mate.
That... Rotherham, and before that a teammate of Phil's at Sedgley Park,
and before that he came over from South Africa aged 21 and played at Liverpool St Helens in North West 1 or North West 2,
tier 6 or 7.
Yeah,
an incredible story, because against one of the biggest packs in Europe he looked the business.
God, it's a hell of a thought, isn't it?
Yeah. And
Guthrie Steenkamp and Census Johnston.
Yeah, his opposite man was Guthrie Steenkamp.
I think it's a great story, and it's worth highlighting that it's not all about just going out and signing massive names. You can pluck players from the Championship, and then against teams like Toulouse, they can go out there and
which
and
is exactly
do a really good job.
My point about the regions, which is it's about giving players opportunity rather than just buying the old ones back in.
Owen Farrell, talking about form players in England, Owen Farrell's the form 10.
He was
comfortably.
He's superb. He's a form 12. He's just playing 10.
Playing at 10. He's kind of doing both roles because he's not really got a 12 outside him.
Well, who's his 12 at the moment?
Brad Barrett.
Oh, God.
Actually, Brad Barrett put in a very nice miss pass for that Chris Wiles try.
Brad Barrett is a tremendous player for Saracens.
Yes. Yes,
for what they do. If you want Brad Barrett ever to play for England ever again, which I don't suspect you do, you need to appoint Mark McCall as the coach.
Okay. Where we're at currently is we've discussed all the due to the fixtures that we weren't able to see. We've discussed all of the fixtures in the European Cup. I'm really scratching my head. We were scratching our head watching the Exeter game, going, when are the games going to be replayed?
Yeah,
because due to the late start of the Aviva Premiership and with the European Cup, I think it's 25 consecutive weekends before the knockout stages of the European Cup and any potential rest week for an Aviva Premiership side. It's like getting into, what is it, April?
Well, I was looking. Tim, you gave me one of the best presents I've ever received. which is...
So I was working for BT Sport, and as part of that, you get, you know, there's some excellent people part of the team who do lots and lots of research, player profiles, statistics. They dig deep to find some interesting stuff and then put it in I'm not going to use the word pamphlet, it's a dossier of stats. And I thought our stat man Phil would love all
it's
this.
Incredible.
So I brought it back and gave Phil all the stats.
I was reading it for about an hour before the pod. One of the very interesting things, because we were trying to work out when the hell they're going to play this. So the last game in the pool is January 23rd. They've got to play it before then. There is not a free weekend between now and then. There is not a free weekend. Assuming a Premiership team, and this is Premiership teams I'm talking about, assuming a Premiership team gets to the knockout stages of both the Aviva and the European Champions Cup, June would be their first free weekend.
Play it in June then?
Yeah, just play it in June. Yeah, after the Heineken European Champions Cup.
So obviously, to be able to advance to the knockout stages, when's the first knockout stage? When's the quarterfinals?
Well, the quarterfinals are in April. They start, so there's a big gap. But obviously, between the end of January and April is the Six Nations, so you can't have it then. So you've got to have it before the 23rd of January, and every single weekend has an Aviva Premiership game.
So you need a six-day minimum turnaround between games, so you can't play midweek matches as they would do in football.
You can't play midweek matches.
Can you use them like jiggery-pokery? And so if you move them to, say, you had a block of Friday games and then you have another block, so you kind of...
So if you did a Friday, then a Thursday, then a Wednesday, you'd have to, like, shift everyone.
In 7 weeks, we'll have a free week.
And also the travel.
I can't see that working for televising or for fans.
So I think what they've got to do is postpone one of the Premiership games.
Have to, sure.
And play it, assuming the two teams that don't play in that Premiership game, they don't qualify for the semi-final, because they could put it in the semi-final weekend.
I suppose at least there's some Pro 12 teams, because no one watches that, so they could basically rearrange those matches at the convenience of their opposition.
What is JB going to do when the Pro 12 is... I mean, because Ospreys put in a great performance against Exeter, but
yeah, they did.
And what is going to happen when there are four really strong Welsh teams and three really strong Irish teams and two really strong Scottish teams and two terrible Italian teams in the Pro 12?
Rising tide, it's got to have some effect on those Italian teams.
What are you going to do about your vitriol against the Pro 12?
Look, when the Pro 12 gets good, there'll be a direct correlation with the Welsh team getting less good. So
that doesn't make sense.
Yes, it does.
Winning Welsh teams worse?
Smaller player pool, for all the reasons that I mentioned before.
The flip side is the benefit out of the Welsh regions and the WRU not getting on and all these players going abroad is that all these young players have come through, and now that the players are coming back, it means that, for example, at Scarlets, Gareth Owen has had a lot of experience in the first team, so Wayne Pivak will quite comfortably go, do you know what, JD, you've got an international match in a couple of weeks, I'm going to rest you because Gareth Owen's good enough.
But they won't do that anymore, because a qualification for the European Cup is actually meaningful now.
Well, no, it's been good to see that, like, the English clubs have actually been resting players ahead of this weekend. Like, George Ford was rested last week.
I think if you get to a situation where you've got to rest your players, you're playing too much rugby.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what.
Oh, no, I think we all agree on that. But they are doing so. They have to have the biggest squad.
And Northampton rotated half-backs. Canfo Tuli started against Saracens and Lee Dixon came in. So there's quite a bit, there's a bit more rotation than you think going on.
Yeah.
I reckon. Anyway, you were sort of coming to some conclusion, Phil, about the free weekends, were you?
Well, they'll have to move a Premiership fixture, and then, so it's not only do they have to move a Premiership fixture, they then have to hope that the two teams, or both of the teams from the move fixture, don't qualify for the knockout stages of European Champions Cup, and then don't qualify for the Premiership.
I'm thinking that there must have been a contingency plan for what if, because with there being no free weekends, we still could have frozen off weekends. We could have waterlogged weekends.
Well, there normally would be, but the World Cup has pushed everything back. So the Premiership certainly.
And it has to be very, very cold now to get around underpitch heating, and very, very wet to get past the drainage system.
Unless I'm reading this wrong, there is not a free weekend where there's not a Champions Cup or a Premiership game. Assuming that you get through the knockout stages, it will be June when there's the first free weekend.
Just a couple of observations about the Challenge Cup, because we've kind of not really covered it. So if you're a fan of a team that's in the Challenge Cup...
And we love rugby league.
European Rugby Challenge Cup. We got question marks against it as a sort of competition. And just a couple of little facts about it. Sale Sharks, as you mentioned, were one of a bunch of teams who rested a bunch of players. They've seen the European Rugby Challenge Cup as an opportunity to give their players a rest from Aviva Premiership matches. So they didn't take it seriously at all. And there was only one game out of the whole bunch of fixtures that happened, only one game that the team that lost were within a bonus point score, and that was Brive against Newcastle in probably the ugliest game of the weekend, 13-9.
Who won?
To Brive at home. Again, Newcastle put out a bunch of players that haven't really been playing. So
the most interesting thing, Quinn's performance did impress me, but the most interesting thing was seeing the pictures of RC NSI versus Connacht.
Yes.
In minus 20 in Siberia. That was incredible.
NSI, yeah, I think that sounds about right. NSI.
Yeah, fair play to those Connacht players that
turned
out.
They look very comfortable under those blankets, though.
10 layers of blankets.
There's no way. Yeah, if you've seen the picture of the Connacht replacements on the bench under loads and loads of blankets, piles and piles of blankets, those blankets do not look like they came on the Connacht shipment that came in the plane. There's no way they brought those with them. So they're the sort of thing you'd imagine some old deers in Siberia sitting around.
I bet Connacht love playing in the Champions Cup because they West does not have the best weather at all.
No.
Like, exposed to the Atlantic, the driving rain. And they'd be looking forward to like the south of France or maybe even Italy. Oh. And then they go to Siberia.
Amazingly, RC NSI, who I will now be following, scored 14 points.
They did.
That's not a bad effort, is it?
It was 6-0 at half-time.
They've apparently got some serious cash. They've got a lot of the Russian national team.
Ah, that's pretty cool. Yes. Do they train in Moscow, fly out to... who was that team, the football team that did that? Angie. Remember them?
No.
Yeah, you do. They had William, they had Eto.
Oh, yes, I remember.
What does that kit look like?
Have you not seen the pictures in the snow?
Nope.
Just while you're waiting for that picture, we mentioned it briefly before, but Richie McCaw has said that this week he's going to declare what he's doing in the future. Now, one of the things that I remember saying on a podcast a few weeks back was that I heard from a very reliable source that Leicester Tigers had two players... Mm. That were involved in the World Cup final.
No.
It was in the week before the World Cup final. They said they got two players still involved in the World Cup to announce. Do you think that was John de Villiers and Matt Timmermans, and so it's not going to be Richie McCaw?
Oh, I see.
Or I'd love to see Richie McCaw at the Aviva Premiership.
So would I. I hear these.
Just from a selfish point of view.
I'm pretty sure that he's going to quit rugby and going to solve world peace.
Do you reckon Munster might be a good fit for him as well? These New Zealanders do like to go to... the Irish provinces, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Ulster. How about him at Ulster, Phil?
I'd take that. Man, we've got Chris Henry at open side. We don't really need.
Yeah.
Don't really need McCaw.
And also, Leicester would make sense because they've got form in this manner. Like I always say, Leicester love 12s. And I'm so glad that these signings have happened because it kind of makes me look like I'm right for a change. But they also like New Zealand sevens, having had
Josh Cronfeld.
Cronfeld in the past. And they've had all sorts of sevens. Yeah. They've had Moody, they've had Back, they've had Salvi. This does make sense.
And they quite often have more than one of them at once.
Yeah, I tell you who will not be happy if he does go there is their new seven. What's his name?
Brendan O'Connor.
Oh, Brendan O'Connor. Oh, he put in a shift as well, didn't he?
Yeah. He's a good player, but he's...
Some gas for that try as well.
But he's left New Zealand because he wasn't getting any game time because of their collection of outstanding sevens. And that's what's happened all over again. The same people.
McCaw haunting him.
Yeah.
He's not got anywhere near the national team.
Because Ohio O'Connor. Clean my boots.
5 years.
What about looking at it like this? JB likes to take the mickey out of it, but what about which Premiership team would be the most likely to have the kind of culture where Richie McCaw would sweep up the changing room after a game? And I'm going Exeter Chiefs for that.
None, because it doesn't exist. They don't do it. They make England do it.
Worcester. Dean Ryan's definitely got them sweeping up the changing room.
No.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I tell you what, lots of positive things said about Worcester today.
Not by you.
Not by me, no.
they had a good win at home to La Rochelle.
Rochelle, I just thought that was a fictional place that only ever appeared in French textbooks at school.
Ah.
It was always La Rochelle.
La Rochelle.
J'habite à La Rochelle.
Yeah, no, good thing said about Worcester today, because I was on the level 2 course. And all the coach educators, they love words like multi-skilled educator. I don't even know what that is. I genuinely do not know what that describes. But they all were raving about Worcester's setup.
Mm. So. Bringing a lot of young players through.
Dean Ryan's done a good job, hasn't he, Jay?
Well, I mean, if you class relegation as a good job, yeah.
I think it's too early to say this year, but he's making moving them in the right direction.
Sure.
I will say this, right? When Dean Ryan speaks as a pundit or he writes his column, I think he writes for Telegraph, it is very interesting. I think
he writes for The Guardian, doesn't he?
It's a Guardian or Telegraph. He does one of the two. But he's a very, very good pundit and he seems very, very insightful. But interestingly, Tim, I don't think you've really been looking into Dean Ryan that much, because he says some very similar things to me, particularly about the national setup.
He says some of his rants about Stuart Lancaster are like verbatim, word for word, what you've said.
Yeah, I've got to point like that. I quite like this guy. So you either like me and Dean Ryan, or you don't like you can't have it both ways, Tim.
I wouldn't voluntarily sit in a room we call the rugby dungeon with someone I didn't like, much as we like to butt heads over topics from time to time. I think we should look ahead to the fixtures coming up this week again, because round two of the European Cup and
just one more thing.
Oh yeah, go on, Phil.
From the fixtures that have gone, did you see the George North incident? I know you did, because you were there.
I was there at pitch start.
Oh, yes. Tell me about the George North incident.
Have you not seen it?
So, let me set the context then. So, I think it was just the start of the second half, wasn't it? Or it was the end of the first half. Anyway, whatever happened, Northampton scored a fantastic try. It was all, offloads and keeping the ball alive. Absolutely superb try. And Big Luth finished it off in the left-hand corner. George North was involved at one point. And the try was scored. The replay was shown in the stadium, and that alerted the TMO, which they then alerted the referee. And it turned out that George North, whilst he was offloading and trying to get back into play, his leg had been held by Michael Tangi Thakinbau, and George North, after he got his foot free, stamped down and backwards onto the shoulder of Tangi Thakinbau. There was no need for it. It was completely uncalled for. And the try
wasn't uncalled for. He was being held back.
Well, Tangi Thakinbau made the tackle because George North had the ball at the time. Yeah. He was on the floor. He didn't know whether North had offloaded or not.
Yeah.
He thought he was making a try-saving tackle 5 yards, so he should not let go. He does not have to let go there.
Nope.
Especially as George North hadn't hit the deck, so there's no impetus to release in that sense. Anyway, George North stamped on his shoulder. Tangi Thakinbau had to go off. At that point,
did he go off for the entire game?
Yeah, I think he did.
I think he might have come back on. I think he actually went off for a head injury assessment, because his knee, George North stamped on the shoulder and then came down and his knee hit his head and was like someone absolutely hammered. I was in the tunnel and he came past, and it was like a 2:30 in the morning on a Saturday night in Swansea. He was looking all over the place. He was just telling all the get off me, get lost, that, get away.
That could be 2:30 in the day in Swansea.
And
on a Tuesday.
But anyway, there's a couple of things that come out of this. One, it was a really stupid thing, and I wouldn't mind betting that George North gets a couple of weeks break as a result of it. The second one, I think more interesting, is that the try was taken away from Northampton, because
it's so wrong.
Because the stamp itself was after George North had already offloaded and Big Luth had run in for the corner, so it had no material effect on the play.
None at all.
The referee came back and gave foul play, no try against. And it was it was one case study where I thought, do you know what?
JB's right.
No.
No.
This isn't what you were saying.
It was.
It's like I will come towards you a little bit, JB, because what I saw there was a perfectly good try taken away.
Yeah.
And
for completely unrelated.
For something unrelated, and that's the important bit. And I think a better response would have been allow the try, because the stamp had no material effect on whether it was a try or not. George North still gets a yellow card. Restart the play with a penalty to Scarlets.
Yes, exactly right. It's not difficult. It really isn't difficult, but we're so caught up in, I don't know, it's just a nonsense.
Is that as you saw it, Phil? And did I miss anything out in that?
No, that was pretty much spot on.
The referee sees it, it's your yellow, it's your red. If he doesn't see it, leave it to
the side. Well, he didn't see it in the TMO. I've got no problem with that being seen and dealt with. It wasn't like he was obstructing a defender which denied the defence a chance to tackle Luther Burrell. It was completely unrelated to whether a try was scored or not.
I just don't like messing around with that sacred 80 minutes for the sake of being PC. I agree. If it doesn't have any material effect on the play, let the boys play.
Yes.
Well, that's the bit I will go with you. I don't agree with the having no TMOs and only if the officials on the field see it. But it was just that it seemed like everybody, the crowd, the players, for Northampton particularly, were denied a perfectly good try.
A great try. The only other thing is I was disappointed in that North did that, because he kicked out not knowing where he was kicking out. He was inches away from Taki Thakinbau's head, and for a man who's had all the problems he's had, I thought it was
it's pretty cowardly, reckless and stupid if he had a problem then if he had a problem, he should have done the rugby equivalent of the old duel back in the in the Wild West. He's waiting for him to stand up
duke
and then go
up.
Come on then, let's go. Bang,
imagine getting up a bit.
This is a sort of integrity in that rather than a cowardly on a man that's on the floor,
face down on the floor and you stamp towards his head.
But imagine getting up, you're slightly groggy, you made a tackle, you're dusting yourself up off. You turn around and George North is there in fighting pose, ready to duel with you. I didn't sign up for this.
No. The only upside of the yellow card being dealt with in that way. Well, as I say, I've got no problem with the yellow card. It was the try being chalked off, but it did mean that George North came and sat on a watt bike or a spinning bike right next to me, keeping warm. I was stood in the tunnel and George North was there, and his legs are incredible. Well, his quads are phenomenal. Enormous, he's so bottom heavy.
He's a strange shape, isn't he? Because he's got just an average
upper body, average rugby player upper body.
He's not far off the shoulders of Brent Cobain. I mean, is that sort of slight? I mean, it is far, but
do you know? There's a game that my little sisters, I remember them having when they were young and I was a bit older, a game called Misfits, where it's like you have the head of a cowboy, the body of a, I don't know, a mermaid, and then the legs of a cheerleader. And like the game is to try and match him up. It looks like George North's just, it's someone else's upper body and someone else's lower body.
His legs look like they're front row's legs, like from the size of them, but they're so damn fast as well.
So fast.
Who's got real pigeon legs and a massive upper body? He's got Haskell's legs.
Arscott of Salem.
Oh yeah, tiny legs.
Oh yeah.
The Hammer Hammersley.
No, he's tiny all over, isn't he?
James Haskell is tiny. I was going to say tiny down below. That sounds wrong. ask Chloe Madeley about that. Anyway.
Anyway,
next week's games. Well done, Phil, getting us back on track. And we have got only what? As we're recording this on a Sunday, that means we've only got 5 more sleeps until more European rugby.
OMG.
And if only that sleep was taking place on a Lisa mattress.
Oh, that's why BT Sport pay you the big bucks. That was seamless.
You didn't even know that was coming.
No, I had no idea.
I thought as soon as I said 5 more sleeps, you knew where I was going with that.
No, seamless. Just like a Lisa mattress.
Well, let me tell you about Lisa Mattresses, JB.
Yes, please.
And by the way, after I've told you this, we've got an exclusive Egg Chasers offer that you can take advantage of. So it's they're a new company to the UK launching a new mattress. And they're called Lisa, L-E-E-S-A. And they've got a luxury mattress, layers for cooling and layers for support as well. She's, you know, what more
do
you want?
It makes sense, doesn't it? Sometimes I've had a cold layer, sometimes I've had a supporting layer, but never the two together.
Well, this has got 3 layers, and there's 100 nights to try your mattress at home risk-free. If you're not sleeping better within 100 nights, then Lisa will pick up your mattress and get you a full refund. So you can only get this online, and it's delivered to your door. More time to watch rugby, less time to spend in whatever, though, wherever you go and buy beds.
Exactly.
Normally, do it online, do it dead quick, and get yourself £40 off a Lisa mattress with the code EggChasers40 at lisa.co.uk/EggChasers. Sorted.
Done.
Perfect.
So 5 sleeps to the more European rugby. For reasons we discussed earlier, let's just skim briefly over the European Challenge Cup. If the teams aren't going to take it seriously, then why should we?
Yeah. That's what I say about the Pro 12.
Cardiff Blues play Quins on Friday night.
That might be
Thursday night. I'll probably watch that.
Yeah, that could be that I'm excited about.
I like what Quins are doing this season.
I can't see Quins not coming out on top unless they rest everyone. And play Dave Ward.
Rest everyone and just Dave Ward on his own.
Yeah, yeah. Unless Dave Ward plays at 7.
Dave Ward at 7 would be superb.
Yeah.
Big game on Friday night, Phil. It's all about watching Ulster v Saracens.
Yes.
At the Kingspan Ravenhill.
Is this exactly the same group as it was last year?
It's not far off.
It was Ulster-Leicester last
Munster.
Year.
Yeah. No, Munster it was. Munster to lose
Saracens.
Ulster
with Leicester last year. this is a really big game.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I think this rest. So Ulster travelled to France to play Oyonnax, but didn't actually play. So I imagine that rest compared to Saracens. Well, it wasn't even brutal. It's a massive Toulouse pack, but it wasn't a brutal encounter. I'm hopeful the rest for Ulster will work in their favour. But Saracens are so far unbeaten this year, and they've not really looked like getting beaten at all.
And do you know what? That might be the focus for coaches. We were talking about how difficult it is to get a rest week in. There is a way to get a rest week, and that's to qualify nice and early in your pool.
True.
That's a very good point.
I just love Saracens. I mean, don't get me wrong, their YouTube highlight video is dull, but I just love how they put things together. I love how well thought through the team is, what their strategy is. They seem to be prepared for everyone. They seem to know what's going to happen. And they've had some magnificent wins through this approach. So how many teams can say they've beaten, no, not just beaten, smashed Clermont and Toulouse?
Yeah, not many. Apart from Toulon.
Oh, and actually they've beaten Racing in playoff rugby.
I know, it's impressive. Saturday then. And in the European Rugby Champions Cup, an all-French affair. Assuming it goes ahead, Toulouse, Oyonnax. So you'd expect Toulouse to bounce back in that one, although Oyonnax have been doing pretty well this season. Exeter face Bordeaux at home. Another tough fixture for them. Bordeaux, unfortunately for them, obviously the circumstances surrounding it weren't ideal, but Bordeaux had a rest.
Rest weekend, yeah.
That's
yeah,
that'll
be an interesting game because Bordeaux are meant to be a serious force. I've not watched much because not watched much top 14.
French teams classically away from home. Exeter at home.
Well, I mean, in the top 14, teams will rest their squad now before going to Bordeaux because they are a serious proposition. So it'll be interesting to see.
Is Bordeaux,
they do travel well,
where Adam Ashley Cooper's going?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have been spending big.
I'm going to go with Exeter.
Exeter
at home.
Exeter at home, definitely.
This is interesting. Yeah. Glasgow, Northampton. I'm going to go Glasgow at home there. I mean, the green shoots of recovery for Northampton. Their pack did really, really well. They're still misfiring a little bit, not fluent.
Yeah. I will also go for Glasgow.
I think Glasgow play lovely rugby. I like them as Pro 12 teams go, but I do think the Northampton pack will be too much for them. I think Northampton will take them. Having said that, Glasgow beat Bath by 30-odd points to something.
Yeah,
when Bath went there.
Glasgow.
Don't know.
Scarlets play Racing 92 at Parky Scarlets.
Racing.
They've narrowly lost to Leinster away from home. They've narrowly lost to Northampton away from home. I think they're going to go from 6 wins to 3 straight defeats.
Racing are one of the top clubs in the top 14 this year. They're playing very well.
Dean Cara won't be part of that team.
No. And a rest weekend, I would go for Scarlets.
Oh, nice.
You mentalist.
I like it.
You're insane for that.
Actually, that massive, that monstrous Racing pack.
How? Do you run me through your process?
What?
Of picking Scarlets over Racing.
Well, they're second top of the Pro 12.
Oh, they're, done. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I didn't realise that.
Strong home form. Rugby. French teams don't travel very well.
Home form.
Okay. Good luck with that one. You put a bet on that.
We could just skirt over.
Yeah, I will.
How much?
£2.
Put on a tenner.
I'm not putting a tenner on that.
Put a tenner on that.
£2.
Okay, £2.
Put on. We can skirt over Benetton Treviso. They'll get handed a 5-point defeat.
Oh, you're not going for Benetton Treviso on that one, Phil?
No, Leicester. I like Leicester. Benetton Treviso near the bottom of the Pro 12.
And then
notoriously bad against all other clubs.
Leinster, just having been battered by Wasps, have to go to the wreck.
To the greatest sports ground on earth. Bath. I don't know.
That is in the pool of death.
Yeah.
So I think Leinster's tournament is almost over already. Unless they get a win there. So if you win your home games and you pick up one away victory, you've got a good chance of going through. They've already lost one of their home games. And the other teams they've got to face are Bath and Toulon. So then they're not going to get much change out of that.
I'll just say this. If you look at the form and you've just seen that Leinster have lost to Wasps, you think, yeah, OK, going to Bath is no big deal. But I've said this about Bath. Something doesn't feel right about the way that they're playing. I think they're going to take a step backwards. It would not surprise me at all if Leinster win. It will largely depend on does Francois Lowe play and what he performs like.
Well, he was set to captain Bath this weekend in Toulon, so I assume he will play.
I've got a feeling that there's going to be upset there. I've got a feeling that's going to be a Leinster victory for some reason.
Wow.
I'm going a home win.
Home win.
Don't get me wrong, I want a home win.
And then Connacht play Brive, Sail Sharks play Poe, Cass play Dragons, Zebre play Worcester, Grenoble play London Irish. And then we move on to Sunday. And in the European Rugby Champions Cup on Sunday, Clermont Ospreys. That'd be an interesting matchup. Clermont at home, though.
Clermont at home.
That's, yeah, that will be. That will
hard
be
to beat. That. And Stade Francais playing Munster.
That will be interesting.
Two teams sort of stuttering.
Yeah, Munster did not look great against Treviso, but they got a bonus point win, which is all you can ask.
And then when Wasps made their move to the Rico, it was with nights like this Sunday.
This will be tremendous.
Wasps against Toulon, 5:15 kickoff, the evening match, the last game of the weekend on Sunday. I mean, that's this is exactly what they've been building for the last few years, isn't it? Nights like this.
I mean, this will really give us an indication of where Wasps are at. If this weekend's result was because of a bad Leinster team or because of a good Wasps team, I can't wait for this. I could not wait.
Couldn't ask for a better litmus test of where you're at, could you?
Yes, I completely agree with that. I think Toulon will win. I think, as I said before, Leinster, they really lacked that cutting edge in the backs. And Toulon have that. And
they've got a couple of useful backs, haven't they?
They've got a few handy guys out there. There's only so long that you can soak up pressure when you've got the guys that Toulon have running at you. They're the carriers that they've got in the pack and the runners that they have in the backs. They will have too much for Wasps.
I think the weakness for Toulon, I think Wasps were very close to beating them last year. The score suggests that they weren't, but they really were. If you saw that game, it was much closer than you would have thought. And Wasps are a bit better. Do think they're going to win, but it's going to be mighty close. It's going to be mighty close. And I think what we'll get Toulon is going to be that pace. You just don't know when one of those boys might score. And in fact, when they played last time at Stade Felix, whatever it's called, Mayol, I believe it was an Elliot try and a Simpson try, and both of them just looked world class.
So you're calling a Wasp win?
I'm going to call a narrow Toulon win.
And there we are, done for another podcast.
One more game.
Oh yeah.
On the Sunday, Newcastle take on NSI STM, the
Siberian team.
So Siberian good. Marauders.
They'll be looking forward to a nice
hot
balm break to Newcastle.
Put on their suntan.
Love it. Right. At Rugby Podcast is they're probably going to wear, you know, like sevens teams wear those vest type shirts. They're going to turn up in them.
They'll be like ice buckets at half time. Kind of cool down.
This is ridiculous.
Get the water on. How does anyone play in this kind of heat?
Yeah. So at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. More rugby lookalikes would be great. Any thoughts, any reaction to the podcast in the meantime, subscribe on iTunes. Get the Acast app and you can listen there. Leave us your review on iTunes as well. Really, really appreciate it. And we will see you next time.
And bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ellie's a bed.
Thanks for listening. Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit, Jake.
Oh, thank you, Tim.
Laters.